do a sermon and song, and it's one of my favorite things to do. We're going to be having the song service mixed in with the sermon. You're going to be joining in preaching tonight, and I hope it'll bring out the meaning in the songs and the verses that we selected. It's important as we sing, the Bible says, to sing with the understanding, to exhort one another, to teach and admonish one another. Tonight I want to talk about worship. There will be no PowerPoint except for the song. So if you need to have an outline, if you want to follow outline, if not, just listen carefully. Tonight I want to talk about worship. Who are the true worshipers of God? You know, if you open your Bible, and by the way, I guess I got up here before our reader did they? I'm sorry. Next time we'll have the scripture reading. I apologize for that. Anyway, they were going to read this verse. So anyway, John chapter 4, we'll just read it together here. John 4, beginning in verse 21. Our Lord Jesus, the creator of the universe, the one whom we serve, made an interesting statement about God seeking something. Boy, when you read in Scripture something like that, pay attention. Notice the context. Verse 21, he's talking to the woman at the well. He says, Jesus said to her, "Woman, believe me, the hour is coming when you will neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem worship the Father. You worship what you do not know. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour is coming, and now is, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth, for the Father is seeking such to worship Him. God is spirit, and those who worship Him must worship in spirit and truth." Notice in verse 23, there are true worshipers that God is seeking. Let's ask the question in the sermon, is that me? Is that you? When you look at the word worship, it comes from a Greek word, proskuneo, and literally it means to kiss the hand upward. If you look at the lexicon definition in the outline, it says, from a basic sense, bow down to kiss someone's feet, garment him, or ground in front of him. In the New Testament, of worship or veneration of a divine or supposedly divine object, expressly concretely with falling face down in front of someone, worship. When you read about the idea of worship, at least this word here, it's an intense word. It's not a casual word. It is putting yourself in the presence of God in a special way. And I know there are debates that brethren have, is everything we do is worship, or can you go to worship? And I just like to say this about that whole controversy. Now, I recognize we're always in the presence of God, and we should recognize the presence of God. Now, if somebody wants to call that worship, they can, but I'd rather not use the word worship to describe that. Some people do, and they'll talk about lexicons and definitions. When I use the word worship, I'm really using it in the sense of what I do when I partake the Lord's Supper or when I pray, where I'm not just in awareness of God's presence, but I'm really putting myself before Him in a more intense, serious way. Both concepts are true. We should always be before God and be mindful of Him, and we should always serve and do the things we do with God in mind. But I believe worship can be a more intense sense, and as Abraham in the Old Testament says, we're going to go here to worship. There's nothing wrong in stating that, as long as you define the terms. But let's talk about the essence of worship. Putting yourself in the presence of God. There is our challenge, and that's the thing I want us to talk about tonight. Let's go ahead. David Golden will be leading us in our first song, number 82 in the Green Book, first and third stanza.
Strive to be like Him. He alone is holy. us cry aloud with gladness our joy in Him. Cry aloud with gladness our joy in Him. Magnify, O magnify, O magnify our God and Father. Magnify, O magnify, O magnify our God. He will bring us to His wondrous glory, to perfect fellowship with Him. We will see His wonder, see His beauty, cry aloud with gladness our joy in Him. Cry aloud with gladness our joy in Him.
You will never regret the time that you spend in that regard, getting to know Him better, just looking at His character and His nature every day, thinking about Him. But one of the things we have to talk about as we talk about God is you need to know His nature. Our God hates sin. Now, we are all sinners. We have all, according to Romans 3:23, sinned and fall short of the glory of God. But what we need to be as worshipers, we need to be forgiven men and women. And that means the idea that we find the provisions of God's forgiveness, which always involves repentance, and we cannot be walking in a practice of sin. And unfortunately, through the ages, because God does not immediately attack somebody in sin or destroy somebody in sin, there have been religious people throughout time that says, you know what, I can have the blessings of God and I can walk in sin. You've made a big mistake if that is your thinking. Isaiah 59 and verse 1, God is trying to kindly explain to His people, listen, I want to help you, but you need to understand my nature. It says, behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, nor His ear heavy that it cannot hear. But your iniquities have separated you from your God, and your sins have hidden His face from you, so that He will not hear. I recognize as a evangelist, and certainly even as an elder, if this congregation and the work that each of us play a part in, if we're going to accomplish anything that's going to be significant to God, we've got to deal with the heart. And that's the hard thing. It's easy to do outward things. And I will tell you, as you're honest with yourself and I'm honest with myself, the battle for the heart is difficult. But our God says, I can help you. Our God says, put me before you. Put my character before you. Psalm 66 and verse 18, though, tells us, don't play games. Don't on one hand go out here and decide you're going to practice evil, and on the other hand you think you're going to serve God. Psalm 66, 18 says, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear. And some of the studies that I occasionally are able to conduct in the home, we talk about the cross of Christ. In the cross of Christ, we find that Jesus basically was a sacrifice for our sins. Salvation is not a matter of good works outweighing bad works, but it's a matter of a penitent heart that has turned and met the conditions of pardon. In becoming a Christian, how it's put in Colossians 2 and verse 11, it says, in Him you are also circumcised with a circumcision made without hands, by putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ. Here this verse says that you can have your sins removed. Well, okay, if I can want a relationship with God, I want my sins removed. Here are the figures being used in circumcision. It's removed by God's hands, not man's hands. Well, I want that. Well, look at verse 12. Buried with Him in baptism, in which you are also raised with Him through faith in the working of God, who raised Him from the dead. The working of God here is that circumcision made without hands, the removal of sins. And notice what happens in verse 13. And you being dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, He has made alive together with Him, having forgiven you of all trespasses. Our God is in the forgiving business. What about the child of God? 1 John 1 tells us that we're to confess our sins. He is faithful and just to forgive our sins and to cleanse us of all unrighteousness. Forgiveness. As we talk about worship, you and I be cleansed by the blood of Christ. And our God wants to forgive. Our next song will be led by Will King, number 368, Rock of Ages, first and second stanza.
Rock of Ages, cleft for me, let me hide myself in thee. Let the water and the blood from thy wounded side which flowed be of sin the double cure. Save from wrath. Tears forever flow. Could my zeal no longer know these for sin and not atone? Thou must save, and thou alone in my hand, O Christ, I bring simply to thy cross. I cling.
It is so important for each of us as how to be forgiven and to have assurance of where we stand before God. Because if you don't have that, you're going to hide from God and run from God. As I've said before, and I will just emphasize this again, the blood of Christ is offered to you and I. Let us repent. Let us take that forgiveness. And then let's begin to learn about the nature of our God. As we think about God, it is beautiful. So many passages we talk about. I can only just talk about a few tonight. But Psalms 139 is one of my favorite verses. Have you ever just thought about God? Thought about what He knows about you and His long-suffering, His forgiveness, and His plans for you? Have you ever just meditated on that? Psalms 139, I recommend you reading the whole chapter sometime on your own. But here the Bible says, "You have searched me and known me. You know my sitting down and my rising up. You understand my thought afar off. You comprehend my path and my lying down and are acquainted with all my ways." Our God knows us and still loves us. Our God knows us and forgives. Our God knows us and says, "I want to make things better for you." What a wonderful God. Verse 14, we keep reading, "I will praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are your works, and that my soul knows very well." Be thankful. Be aware of what God does. Understand what He's done in your past and understand the potential. We serve such a God. Yeah, let me get to know Him better. Let me praise Him. Let me draw closer to Him. Verse 17. Listen, here's a man who thinks about God and meditates about God. And the more he knows, the more excited he gets. And listen to this. "How precious are your thoughts to me, O God. How great is the sum of them. If I should count them, they would be more in number than the sand. When I awake, I am still with you." And so as we learn how to worship, I pray that each of you, in growing in your maturity, you'll learn how to do that. You'll learn to be meditating upon God and thinking about Him and thinking about His nature and know He is there with you. I can remember I enjoy at times being able to pray to God and being outside and seeing the nature, seeing the stars and the sky and other occasions. What works for you? Take that time and take it often to be brought in the presence of a God who wants nothing but your good. Now, as you begin to do that, you know what's going to happen in life? You're going to go through some difficult times in life. It is critical as a Christian that we learn how to handle hurt, that we learn how to get the bad things in our life out of our life so we can go forward and serve God. You know, there are people that have struggled with this, different what I call coping mechanisms. Every time things happen and I think about it and I can't let go and I got my mind on it, and you can end up in a mess if you don't learn how to let go. God wants you to let go. Worship is a great way to do that. Look at Psalm 73. There's a man by the name of Asaph, and he just was getting really frustrated about what he was seeing in Israel. Unrighteous people were doing things, and it didn't seem like the righteous were prospering, and he was getting upset. He was just in a mess emotionally. Notice how he got himself straightened out. He says, surely, verse 13 of Psalm 73, surely I've cleansed my heart in vain and washed my hands in innocence. For all day long I have been plagued. Now, I think that's a little extreme, but we'll just take him for his word here. For all day long I've been plagued and chastened every morning. If I had said I would speak thus, behold, I would have been untrue to the generation of your children. When I thought how to understand this, it was too painful for me. Now look at verse 17. Until I went to the sanctuary of God, then I understood their end. You see, there's times we want to whittle on God's end of the stick. We see all this unrighteous stuff and we don't think God in control and we just kind of want to take care of it, but we can't take care of it. We're taking on things we can't handle. And there's something about being in the presence of God where you say, you know, God's in control. He's given me what I can handle over here and I need to look at that. Worship can be an enormously cleansing, strengthening process when you're hurt. And that's one of the things in raising children. I've always been thankful if when I think I can see in my child or maybe a young Christian that I'm working with, when they have learned to the point when they are hurting to turn to God and worship, that will always bless you. There's another great passage. We'll just look at a few verses in Psalms 142. You know, the Psalms of David are beautiful. Here's a man hurting, feeling like nobody understands him, feels like people have treated him wrong, and they had, and but here you look at the thought process here. Okay, I see this hurt, but Lord, you take care of me. Psalms 142:1, it says, I cry out to the Lord with my voice. With my voice to the Lord I make my supplication. I pour out my complaint before Him. I declare before Him my trouble. When my spirit was overwhelmed within me, then you knew my path. In the way which I walk, they have secretly set a snare for me. Look at my right hand and see, for there's no one who acknowledges me. Refuge has failed me. No one cares for my soul. Now, I think David here may be getting to a pity party. I think he may be losing perspective, but he's going to God with it. Now look at verse 5. I cried out to you, O Lord, and I said, you are my refuge, my portion in the land of the living. Attend to my cry, for I'm brought very low. Deliver me from my persecutors, for they are stronger than I. Bring my soul out of prison that I may praise your name. The righteous shall surround me, for you shall deal bountifully with me. You know, if you don't learn how to take your troubles to the Lord and let the events of this life be put in His hand, it will destroy you. I saw a fascinating and very sad program a couple of years ago about a brain degenerative disease that affected only one part of the brain. But this part of the brain regulated the ability of a person to go into deep sleep. They could sleep, but they couldn't go into deep sleep. And the way the body is set up, if you can't do that, you eventually can't take care of yourselves and your thoughts, and eventually you die. I want to tell you, if we don't learn how to let go of the past and let worship be an element in that, if we don't find the spiritual rest that Jesus abundantly offers us, it can destroy us as well. Let's now sing number 651. Chase Harrison will lead us in that. Hide me, Rock of Ages. Let's pour out our hurt to our God who will always answer.
Do mi so. Oh, blessed rock of ages. Trusting now, dear Lord, in thee. Keep me till my journey's ended. Till thy blessed face I see. When the storm around me rages, Rock of ages, hide thou me. Keep me when the storm clouds gather, till the sun comes shining through. Keep me till my work is over, till I bid this world adieu. Hide me, O blessed rock of ages, till thy blessed face I see. When the storm around me rages, rock of ages, hide thou me.
And he wants all of our heart. And as we consider the nature of God and the nature of life and heaven and hell and just everything about this world, why not give God our entire hearts? But here's where the struggle comes. Because we can maybe get our hands in the world. And maybe we can have some blessings in the world, and we can have what the Bible describes as a divided heart. If you're going to be a true worshiper, God wants you to put Him first and to be passionate about Him. It's interesting, as Joshua, who was going to be a great leader, succeeding Moses, God told him this about, if you want to be a leader, you want me to work with you, here's what it's going to take. Joshua 22:5, it says, but take careful heed to do the commandment and the law which Moses, the servant of the Lord, commanded you. To love the Lord your God, to walk in all of His way, to keep His commandments, to hold fast to Him, and to serve Him with all your heart and with all your soul. You want to be a true worshiper, you've got to be very passionate about God. It's got to define you. It's got to be the thing that is the most important thing in the world to you. And again, you may say, well, I'm not there yet. Well, then let's work on getting there. This is what is absolutely required. And again, as I put this, it's like, well, you know, I have very strong love in my life toward my wife, toward Yvette. We have made commitment to one another, and that's a very powerful love. And it's a very beautiful thing. And that's the kind of love we would have toward God, but a greater one, in the sense that here, I know God loves me and cares for me. He will bless me. Here is His nature. I want to go that path. I want to be just consumed in my thinking about Him. You cannot be a worshiper and be casual. And the idea of just kind of, okay, yeah, God wants me to come on Sunday, or I've got to say a prayer day, so I say it. No. Ezekiel 14:3, we find an interesting statement again about the nature of God. And God raises a question here, a sobering question. The question is, should I let myself be inquired of all by them? There's worship that God despises. And there are times, basically, in the nation of Israel, He told them one case, shut the door of the temple. There's all kinds of people coming in there, but they're not putting me first. Reading Ezekiel 14:3, the entire context. He says, Son of man, these men have set up their idols in their hearts and put before them that which is causes them to stumble into iniquity. Should I let myself be inquired of all by them? You approach God. You think about what is right. You think about the things that are pulling you away from God, and you push those things out. And you put God first. Your whole heart. In the book of Acts, we read about the early church in Acts 2, about the 3,000 that were baptized, they were immediately taught to be dedicated. Verse 42 says, they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, the breaking of bread and in prayers. Yes, when we partake of the Lord's Supper, that is worship. That is putting yourself before God in a special way. We do things in the assembly, but worship goes far more than the assembly. And you read about Christians, because their heart is directed toward the Lord, you read about them getting together at different times, collectively and then even individually, to praise God and put themselves before God. Acts 2:46, it says, so continuing daily, one accord in the temple, and breaking bread from house to house, they ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart, praising God, and having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved. Worship, zeal. You want to be a worshiper, you just put your heart into our God and all the things He will do for you. Let's now sing the next song, Rusty Weldon, number 105. Song number 105.
Five in the Green Supplement Songbooks. You are my all in all.
No, you are my strength when I am weak. You are the treasure that I seek. You are my all in all. Seeking you as a precious fool, Lord, to give up I'd be a fool. You are my all in all. Jesus, Lamb of God, worthy is your name. Jesus, Lamb of God, strength when I am weak. You are the treasure that I seek. You are my all in all. Seeking you as a precious jewel, Lord, to give up I'd be a fool. You are my all in all. Jesus, Lamb of God, worthy is your name. Jesus, Lamb of God, worthy is your name. Worthy is your name.
About some things that may help improve our worship. I think it's important to understand that worship is in essence a form of meditation. It is a form of concentration. And I think that there are a lot of things that we can be doing to help us in that area. I would suggest if the only time you worship when you come to assembly, I don't know if you know how to worship. Worship's got to be daily. It's got to be a regular thing that we do. And it's a learning process. It really is. One of the things I recommend to do is just meditate on the Word of God sometime. Take a verse and think about it. Talk to God about it. Memorize it. Let me give you a few verses from Psalms 119. Psalms 119 and verse 15. It says, I will meditate on your precepts and contemplate your ways. You think about the Word. You think about the nature of God. Verse 27. Make me understand the way of your precepts, so I shall meditate on your wondrous works. Think of God's law and think what God has done. I mean, there's just so much time we can spend there that will get us out of ourselves, get us out of junk sometimes in our life and think about really the nature of our Lord. For Psalms 119, verse 48. My hands also I lift up to your commandments, which I love and will meditate on your statutes. You see, the problem we're facing, I think, in this country, in my generation, certainly your generation, is that we've become a very active people. We're action people. And, you know, I was kind of the first of the video game generation, from the old Atari, you know, playing the tennis to the pinball games and stuff like that. You know, we kind of like to have action. We like to have our movies with action and things with action to keep us going. But, you know, worship is just not that way. I think worship is very motivating, but we've got to learn how to block out everything and meditate and think. When we do that, when we learn to do that, we'll find a very powerful change that can take place in our life. The Bible puts it this way, 2 Corinthians 4:16. It says, therefore we do not lose heart. Even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. Look at Romans 8:29. What is the ultimate purpose of worship? If you want to just put a bottom line here, what will worship accomplish in my life? Your thoughts, your mind, looking at God, taking His Word, expressing that to God, taking His Word in, thinking about His nature. Romans 8:29. For whom He foreknew, He also predestined to be conformed to the image of His Son, so that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. Worship ultimately makes us more like Christ. I will say this readily. Your worship is not a waste of time. And the quality of your worship will determine the quality of your spiritual growth before God. Let's take every occasion we can to praise God. Let's now sing the next song on the list here. Clint Davis will be leading us with I Will Wake the Dawn with Praises, all three verses.
Number 215. So, dawn and sunset fierce and joyful each reflect His mighty ways. With the sea and sky before me, I will give Him all my praise. I will wake the dumb with praises. I will speak His name abroad. I will worship Him forever.
As we're having this evening, to have assemblies where we encourage one another And putting God before us and worshiping Him is certainly a key element of that. We should be encouraged tonight. I am. I love to hear the singing, and I hope that we are thinking of one another as we do that. The Ephesians 5:19, Colossians 3:16 talks about this, a one another thing in our singing. But in Hebrews 10:23, we again read about the nature of coming together in an assembly. It says, let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. Notice you're thinking about the nature of God here. Verse 24, let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approach. You know, when we come to this assembly, it's important, and I know, one thing I appreciate about this group, and I so appreciate about our students, you guys are very strong in your attendance and coming together and encouraging each other. You inspire me and encourage me. And I try not to, you know, just to sometimes say, you know, and it would be accurate to say, you should attend the services. But it's more important to look and get something out of the services. When you do that, and you should always be able to do that, it becomes a natural thing to come. I do recommend to you to put a priority on services, get your rest, to try to think about what you're going to do, to try not to be a distraction in service. You know, I could give you a whole list, and I have a list in the outline of things you do in order to focus. But take it seriously. Let's now, if we could, number 499, Craig Davis, lead us first for the one stanza there of Common Love.
Twice. Number one, a common love.
A common love for each other, a common gift to the Savior, a common bond holding us to the Lord, a common strength when we're weary, a common hope for tomorrow, a common joy in the truth of God's Word, a common love for each other, a common gift to the Savior, a common bond holding us to the Lord, a common strength when we're weary, a common hope for tomorrow, a common joy in the truth of God's Word.
Worship, and we talk about thinking of one another. There's also a very important element of worship of being able to put yourself before God while you're with others. And there's a challenge sometimes in doing that. And that's where worship has to be learned. The Bible tells us in Matthew 18 and verse 20, Jesus says, for when two or three are gathered together in my name, I am there in the midst of them. Matthew 26:29, after Jesus established the Lord's Supper, he made this comment, his statement. He says, for I say to you, I will not drink of this fruit of the vine from now on until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom. We are in the presence of God. I've seen some unfortunate behavior at times in the assemblies. And I've seen people that would laugh and cut up and not even pay attention to what they're doing. I actually had a teacher once, I'm embarrassed to say, that she brought her papers to grade from her class that did that during my sermon once. And, you know, and that's I just don't think that's kind of taking the occasion for assembly very seriously when you do those things. Our God loves us. But he doesn't want us to be flippant about how we worship and what we do before him. You know, it'd be like you going to somebody's birthday party that you didn't care about, and they know you didn't like them, and then when it came time to say happy birthday, here you are, happy birthday, and you're just kind of mocking it. It'd make you angry. If we don't show God proper reverence, our worship can make him angry. In Hebrews 10:28, the Bible says, anyone who rejected Moses' law dies without mercy on the testimony of two or three witnesses. Or how much worse punishment do you suppose will he be thought worthy who has trampled the Son of God underfoot, counted the blood of the covenant by which he was sanctified a common thing, and insulted the Spirit of grace? Could I say to you, please not be passive. If you struggle with boredom, I understand. Not every speaker is interesting, and I'll tell you something. I am sympathetic with people who have to hear me week in and week out, and maybe, you know, over a year or two. I understand the struggle with whatever speaker it may be. But as the Word of God is preached, try to focus on God. Even as the speaker may not have the ability of others, try to always remember this. We're not here because of the speaker or somebody else. We're here because we want to encourage one another to go to heaven. We want to place ourselves before God. You know, the danger of the Pharisees was the Pharisees, again, they ended up with you could end up with a religion that your heart's not touched. You can go into auto mode. You can come in here and it doesn't matter anymore. The blood of Christ has forgiven you and you've got a chance to talk to the eternal God. It just means nothing to you. You don't want to go down that path. Matthew 15:8, dealing with the Pharisees, Jesus says, these people draw near to me with their mouth and honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. And in vain they worship me, teaching as doctrines the commandments of men. Brethren, we can have better song leaders, better teachers, better preachers, better building, whatever, you know, whatever thing it is you think, oh, you know, we've got God's Word and we've got God and we have His authority and His path. That should never, ever be boring to us. Let's now, Brad Hartzell will lead us in number 271, Near to the Heart of God.
Sing on all three verses of this song.
There is a place of quiet rest near to the heart of God, a place where sin can not molest, near to the heart of God. O Jesus, blessed Redeemer, sent from the heart of God, of comfort sweet, near to the heart of God, a place where we our Savior meet, near to the heart of God. O Jesus, bless Redeemer, sent from the heart of God, hold us who wait before Thee, near to the heart of God. There is a place of full release, near to the heart of Jesus, bless Redeemer, sent from the heart of God, hold us who wait before.
As we think about this, it's a marvelous thing that God would want to have anything to do with us. But He has more than just tolerating us. Our God has put us in the center of His love, in the center of His fellowship. The Bible says God's grieved when we fall short. It's fascinating as you look at James chapter 1, you read about God's purpose when the word is read or the word is sung, is that eventually He wants to let the word come part of our hearts and lives. I say again, we need to be very active in our mental processes and our thinking. We are going to have to absorb the Word of God. And as James 1 talks about, it's the engrafted Word which is able to save your souls. So ultimately, as we draw a conclusion to this lesson, we want to be able to have a relationship with God that will be able to change us, sustain us, guide us, comfort us. Psalms 139 says, I said, I will guard my ways lest I sin with my tongue. I'll restrain my mouth with a muzzle when the wicked are before me. I was mute with silence. I held my peace even from good, and my sorrow was stirred up. My heart was hot within me while I was musing, the fire burned. Then I spoke with my tongue, Lord, make me to know my end, and what is the measure of my days, that I may know how frail I am. As I see my own frailty, I see the greatness of God. And my God loves me. He takes care of me. And He lets me have fellowship with Him. First and second stanza of Take Time to Be Holy. Stephen Richardson will lead us in that before we deal with invitation.
Take time to be holy.
To be, take time to be holy. Speak up with thy Lord. Abide in Him always, and be not His word. Make friends of God's children, help those who are weak. Forgetting in nothing His blessing to seek.
When we learn to worship, it affects everything. And one of the things you'll find with people who learn to worship and they learn to express their heart to God and pour their heart out to God, they'll pour their heart out to others. They'd love to be with other Christians and talk about God. I hope that's something we will develop in our lives. Malachi 3:16 puts this statement of those whom God loves, the worshipers that He seeks, and put in another verse here. It says, and those who feared the Lord spoke to one another, and the Lord listened and heard them. So a book of remembrance was written before Him for those who fear the Lord and who meditate on His name. They shall be mine, says the Lord of hosts. On that day I will make them my jewels, and I will spare them as a man spares his own son who serves him. That's another explanation of God seeks such to worship Him. Me, a sinner bought by the blood of Christ, a weak, frail human that somehow my life could impress the God of heaven that I would be a jewel? Meditate on God's word. Talk with others. You know what else you'll find when you start doing this? You'll find yourself helping others to know the Lord. You'll see evangelism be a result of learning to worship. Thank you for your attention this evening. We want to extend an invitation to know the Lord, an invitation to find His love, an invitation to really let your heart be God's. We urge you to find the forgiveness, as we've already stated, as a penitent believer finds that circumcision made without hands as he is baptized into Christ. And Christian, how did you come out? How did you analyze yourself on the worship scale? Where are you? Let's go forward. Let's take the next step. Let's magnify our God. Let His love motivate us. And I pray that we'll never find ourselves where we feel like we are away from His presence. Let's now extend the invitation if we can assist you in any way. Number 612 in the Blue Book is the invitation song, all three stanzas. And the one selected will lead us in that now.
I was sinking deep in sin, far from the peaceful shore, very deeply stained within, sinking to rise no more. But the Master of the sea heard my despairing cry, from the waters lifted me, now safe am I. Love lifted me. Soul's best song, faithful, loving service to Him belongs. Love lift in me, love lift in me. When nothing else could help, love lift in me, love lift in me, love. Completely saves. He will lift you by His love out of the angry waves. He's the Master of the sea, billows His will obey. He, your Savior, wants to be saved today. Love lifted me. Love lift in me.